This morning I'd like to bring God's word to you, and it's an awesome thing to speak and to hear God's word. It's such a privilege to be people who can access the word of God. And we're in a series of called Your Holy Calling in Christ, called according to his purpose and grace. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of called to overcome adversity. Called to overcome adversity. Let's just read a little story in the life of the disciples in following Jesus from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they'd left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, napping, taken asleep on a pillow. Think of it. Absolute turmoil. Not bothered. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the waves, the sea, obey him?" Wonderful. The word of the Lord for us today. I think a lot of Christians think when they come to Christ, it's going to be plain sailing. It's going to be an easy journey. Jesus teaches the opposite. He says, if those you really want to follow him, you will experience adversity, discomfort, trouble, opposition that will affect your circumstances, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances. There are financial storms that can hit. There are storms to do with your mental strain, pressure, emotional pressure. And this is all because you're following Jesus. These disciples were following his instruction, doing what Jesus said to do. And it wasn't so pleasant in these moments. The purpose that Jesus had was this little church, you could say, in the boat, because you never follow Jesus in isolation on your own. Faith is never just you and Jesus. It's always you, Jesus, with other followers. Always. Never not. And there's this little church in the boat following Jesus, doing what he asks for a purpose. And it's really important, you see, that the end of this story is actually so they reach one man and set him free. That Jesus sets somebody free. So actually, as a church and his church worldwide, his purpose is that we know him in the journey of overcoming, and we also make him known. Really important. Called to overcome, not just for you to win, but to reach a world that is without Jesus. Very important perspective of an overcomer. It's important you overcome every battle, every challenge, every storm, because there are people waiting for you to win, to get through what you're going through so that you can be of help to those on the other side. Wonderful, wonderful vision that Jesus brings through his word. Now I'm going to speak this morning on the secrets of the kingdom. Because when you become a Christian, the kingdom ways are completely different to the ways you used to do life. And we need to know the secret of how to see the kingdom of God come. And there are certain secrets we read in this story and in the Bible of how every true follower of Jesus can win, can experience victory no matter what the storm is. After all, Jesus died, rose again, defeated death, hell, Satan, sin, and all the powers of the world that are negative. That isn't a bad list to believe, not just quote. He is victorious, and he reigns in victory, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion or his reign endures through all generations. So he's victorious. And so on this journey, Jesus is with the disciples. And I would say the first thing, if you're going to win over any trouble or any storm, is to answer this question. Am I in the will of God? Big question. Am I doing what Jesus said to do with my life, in my relationships, with my money? How many of you know financial storms can only be solved when you come under the lordship of Jesus, when he's Lord of your money? Hello? When he's Lord of the way you relate and love others. That's the way that we win, is we first of all see, am I doing his will? I've had many storms in my life. The first thing I do is I check that. That's my first check. Lord, am I genuinely in your will? And I ask people who are true followers of Jesus around me, do you think I'm doing the right thing with my life? Is my purpose set on his goals, or are they just mine? Okay, so that's the first thing. You see, the Bible teaches another storm. And the name of the person in that storm is a person called Jonah. Jonah got into a storm. And his storm was the result of hearing God say, go, do something, and saying, no. Okay, simply, he heard God say something and he said, no. And in fact, if you read the story, he ran away. And it says he left the presence of God. Very important you understand, in the new covenant, Christ lives in you, but you can leave the manifest presence of God and the blessing and favor of God when you say no to what he asks you to do. And those storms are solved in only one way. A Jonah storm is only solved by saying, forgive me, I should have done what you asked. I should have done it your way. And turning back to say yes. So Jonah isn't going to be blessed in disobedience. How's that? The blessing of the Lord is within his will. But he forgives us whenever we're not in his will. Isn't he wonderful? We should really sing about that a lot more. God has been so good to me. He's forgiven me when I've said no and I came back and I said yes. But the only way out of that storm is to say sorry. And to say, right, I'm willing to do your will. Can you see? So the first thing you identify, is it a Jonah storm or a Jesus storm? Am I in storms because I've disobeyed God in some area of my life? Without getting too kind of self-focused, say, Lord, teach me. Is there something? wrong with the way I'm living? I mean, you can't be living in rebellion and expect victory. Sorry to be straight. This preacher, I wish I could. I've decided I've only got a few more years, like 10, 20, 30, I don't know. I've just decided to talk plain, like Jesus. Jonah storms equals disaster. Stick to doing what God says to do, and you'll be fine. You'll win it. Okay, that's the first thing. Actually, it's more than 10. I'm around more than 10 years. So we need our eyes opening to understand with humility what we need to change. Is there anything I need to change about how I'm living first so that I can come into alignment with God as my King and Lord so that there can be a victory in the name of Jesus? The second thing we read in the story, and I find the disciples are just like me sometimes. Are you not encouraged that it's written, don't you care, in a storm? Are you not encouraged that, anybody? That actually when things are going really bad and wrong, they go to Jesus, wake him up and said, you're doing nothing about my life and my situation, and you obviously don't care about me. What's happened is they've taken the trouble they're in as a sign he doesn't care. Now, you know how silly that is when you're sitting in church, having fans, hopefully if you're sitting in the right area, blowing cool air on you. It's easy to say this. But when everything is up and down and all over the place, and the waves are even coming in the boat, at that point, it's really easy to say, don't say that. How do we stop ourselves from saying that this is a sign that God doesn't care? Well, the answer is, beloved, to be rooted in his love. Rooted in his love. The only sign you need is God loves you so much, he suffered and died for you. That is the sign to believe in trouble, not the trouble. If you start believing that the trouble is a sign that God doesn't care, you will sink in this storm. And so Jesus, he brought correction, saying, why did you fear? Why don't you trust me? To trust God in your storm is because you trust that he is good and he cares about you. 1 John, look at these wonderful words. Behold, take a look at this. Think about it. Think about it this morning. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That's what we are. We're children of God. The world doesn't know us because it didn't know him, but we know him. We've been born of God. Every believer is a new creation. You're not just accepted by God, you're brand new. And now, you could say, I'm genuinely born of God, a child of God. If they were rooted in his love for them, they would know that he would do anything to help them. And if you're in trouble today, all I can say is stay rooted in God's love for you, because that's the most secure place you can be. That God loves you, period. And actually, that love makes you stable emotionally when you believe it. The Bible says we know and we rely, or we believe in the love God has for us. It's not a feeling, it's a believing. Don't wait for the feelings in trouble. believe that he loves you. No matter what's going on, God loves you. Very important. And the next thing to do is 1 Peter. 1 Peter, look at this instruction. In a storm, what does this say? Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. On Monday morning, there have been many challenges I've been facing recently. And actually, I realized reading this, the Lord really spoke to me through these verses, that water had got in my boat. And boats aren't designed to carry water. If you know one thing, it's that. Because it's heavy and it's dangerous. It's dangerous and unhealthy to carry the waves. And I realized that actually I needed to not only know that he loved me, but I needed to cast all my cares onto him. See, we don't cast our cares onto nothing. We don't just speak them out. We give them to a person. The Christian life is about a person called Jesus. It's everything to do with Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So you can give all your cares and concerns unto him. My dad, growing up in Zimbabwe, he actually made a little sailing boat. Yeah, quite impressive, really. I never told him that was impressive. But it was. And he taught us to sail. And in the boat, attached to a little piece of rope, was an ice cream container with a top off, so that if the water came in, you could bail out. And so any time water came in, he'd have us kids bailing out. We'd be filling up that container and chucking it out. And of course, you couldn't lose hold of it because it was attached to the boat. It was brilliant. Not attractive, but it worked. And I realized myself on Monday that I needed to bail out. I needed to spend some time pouring out my heart to the Lord. And I did this. This is why how I cast my cares onto him. I prayed and I spoke out the names. And then I thought, do you know what? I'm still attached. So I wrote them down, and there were a lot of people on that list. And there were a lot of circumstances on that list. Like, I filled an A4. That's how many waves I could think of. So I wrote them all down. And I kind of folded it in half, and I said, and genuinely, I was with the Lord. I was kneeling by my bed. And I put that sheet in my Bible. And I closed it. And I said, it's hidden in you, it's in your hands. It's in you, it's in your hands. Every single one of them. And I felt I'd bailed out. I felt no waves in me. Peace flooded my heart because I was able to cast all. But can I tell you a bit of a funny? After that, I'm thinking all the time, that piece of paper's in my Bible. I knew it was in his hands, but I was like, it was annoying me that it was still there. So I went straight to it, opened up my Bible, found it, ripped it up and threw it in the bin. And I thought, well, that's it. That's job done. Because I thought, it's not enough for me to know it's still there. It's in his hands, but now it's in the bin. It's not my problem anymore. It's all in God. And I have seen changes already this week in the circumstances I prayed. Because if you have them in your boat, it's you handling it. It's called management of emotions and stress. Jesus didn't come to manage emotions. He gave us the root, the secret of the kingdom to get bailing out. onto Jesus so that we can be free and in peace. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Our relationship with him is so important. And people don't realize emotional mental health is down to a person called Jesus and the secrets of his ways. You do not have to be stressed out for the rest of your life. Living under pressure, emotional strain, and we do go through sad times. I am not negating that. But I am saying I can pour out my heart to him and he heals me. He restores my soul. Only if I give it to him. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful? So, don't you care? He loves you. Cast all your cares onto him. Make sure you're not in a Jonah storm. Because it's dangerous to stay outside God's will. Then, draw strength from Jesus. These are the secrets of overcoming trouble. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me. Say, come to me. That's the Lord speaking to you. He's saying, come to me. It's an invitation. All who do and are labor and are heavy laden, he promises, I will give. That's a gift if you come to him. You come to peace, you come to rest. But you also draw strength from who he is. And the Lord gave me a phrase on Monday. My goodness me, it made me happy all week. I have had a party with him all week. Doesn't matter what problems come, I'm still happy. Do you know what it is? Do you want to know what it is? Jesus, you're enough for me. Jesus, you're enough for me. Some of you might sit out there saying, well, the Bible says he's more than enough. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I know you know the word. But do you know him? Is he your enough? Draw strength from him being your enough. I say to him, you're enough for me. You're my rock. You're my shelter. You're my peace. You're my fulfillment. People don't complete me. Nobody else but Jesus completes me. I'm not waiting for somebody else or something else. I have him. I have the more than enough one. He's more than capable of being everything his people need in every situation. Draw strength from Jesus. Wonderful. He's my victory. I'm not victorious. He is in me. 1 John 4, 4. Just tell somebody next to you. Wake them up and say, this is talking about you. You are of God. And have overcome them, the Antichrist. Speaking of evil spirits. The anti, those against Jesus, you are of God. Yes. Hang on, tell yourself now. You are of God, little children, and you've overcome the devil. Yes. Oh, hello. Is this too much victory, church? No, it is not. You've overcome them because, why? This is the reason. Not down to me, it's down to another person called Jesus. Because he who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Come on, let's say it again. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. What wonderful news! I've already got the victory. I'm already winning because Christ is in me. It's because of a person, Jesus Christ. He is the champion of all champions. Captain Kane, Captain Fantastic, Harry Kane ain't nothing on my Jesus. He scores winners every time. He is the one who leads me to victory. Through my God, I will do valiantly. It's him who treads down my enemies. Thanks be to God who leads us in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, demons will flee. In the name of the Lord, we have the victory. He is my rock. He is my victory. He's my fortress. He is my God, and I will praise him. You're more than enough for me. You're enough for me. Your victory's enough. You've already won. The winner is in you. Not you. Sorry, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus. The church needs to be more focused on Jesus than us. Because he is our victory. Isn't that wonderful? Draw strength from him. You are enough for me. Can you say that now? In this moment, he's enough for me. Jesus is enough. If I don't have everything I want, he's enough. If I am disappointed in something, he's enough. If storms are hitting my family, he's enough. If the devil seems to be throwing water in my boat, he's enough. Jesus is enough. Oh, Lord, we don't treat you as a thing. We treat you as the greatest person in the world. And we value you in us more than anybody else. Oh, Jesus, more than enough. The next thing is I draw strength from his word. Because presence and word are both important to win. A weak Christian will always be weak in the knowledge of the word of God. You will never win without the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, scripture, that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's time we become students of the word of God. Devote ourselves to the word of God. Study the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. And eat the scriptures. The word is our victory. When you have a word, you've won. When you have a promise, that's it. Game over, enemy. Because whatever God says will come to pass. Romans chapter 15. I'm getting hot. But that's okay. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. So can I just say, when I read about Abraham, how he waited in faith, I'm learning how to endure. When I read about Peter and how he came back after failure, I'm learning how he loves to have me back and will use me again. When I read about David, the whole success of his leadership was he inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? He lived under the voice of God, the word that God gave him. He never acted independently of what God said. That's a winner. that's the one who wins victories, because God is his leader and his guide and his shepherd. It says here, written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, so we get strength from Jesus, but we get strength from scripture. I'm an advocate for the Bible. I say you can't win without it. I'm saying that actually I feel we should get back to reading the pages of a Bible, not just online and little bits during the day. This is your weapon of choice when you are in a battle, because God will give you a word, and that word will bring you to faith. Listen to this. How are you doing this morning? Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at this pattern. It's wonderful. He said to me, this is God speaking, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he, what? What happened? The Spirit entered when? Are you there? Are you getting the light of the word? Are you seeing how to win? When he spoke to me, the Spirit entered. The Holy Spirit moved. And you know, you can be on the floor. Ezekiel was on the floor. But when God speaks, the Spirit enters and you can stand. It doesn't matter how low you get. Job lost everything. Job lost everything. And you know what happened at the end of what he lost? He was on the floor. Broken by what he had lost. But you know what he did? He worshipped. God gave him strength and power again. And he had double in the end than what he started with. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The Spirit, when you read and study the word and allow God to speak to you through the word of God, the scriptures, the Spirit enters. And you can leave that place like, right then. Not like this. Oh dear, I need to have a coffee with my mate because I'm still not winning. The word entered and I stood on my feet. And God is able to do that for anyone on the floor. This morning, he can do it for anyone on the floor. When you hear God speak, he can raise you up and stand on your feet. You can face life differently. You can go back into the same situation, but you're already overcoming on the inside. Thanks be to God. Look, I'm going to give you another scripture because you need it. Genesis chapter 21. Let's say this together. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. I want God to move. I need help. Well, the Lord will visit you according to what he says. The Holy Spirit only sponsors the word. I'm going to this side. The Holy Spirit only sponsors the word of God. Not your feelings, not your thinking, not their opinion, not what the doctor says. The word of God. The Lord visits. That's a happening of God. When God visits someone, it's an experience with God. But that happens because she heard him say, you're going to bear a son. And I must say, if anybody knew about hope deferred makes the heart sick, it would have been Abraham and Sarah. But they were strengthened in faith, giving glory to God because they believed what he said would happen. like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. And God overshadowed her by the Spirit, that what was born of God then came into the world. The Son of God came into the world. Wow. Strength comes from Jesus. Strength comes from the Scriptures. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The two things. Don't be strong in one area and not the other. We need the Word and the Spirit to be a powerful individual and church. To shake principalities and powers. To see an advance of the kingdom of heaven. And to see Jesus glorified in our community. Praise God. I know you're hot, but this is good news. It's the best you could have this morning in hearing these scriptures. They're wonderful. They're wonderful words that change lives. So we have. I'm not in a Jonah storm. Or if I am, I've corrected it. Back in the will of God. We have. He loves me. How great is the Father's love. I'm resting in his love. I'm casting all my cares onto him, bailing out all the waves that came in. There's none left because I gave them all away. And then I'm drawing my strength from Jesus. He's enough, and his word becomes life to me because the Spirit sponsors what God says in his word. Are you getting light for your troubles? Victory, pathway for everything the enemy is trying to do. This is his way. Walk in it. Walk in it. Don't just hear a word. Begin to walk and act on what Jesus says. Then I'm going to just go quick because there's not much you can say about this, apart from what Jesus said. You remember he was in the boat, he got up and rebuked the wind, and the seas became quiet. He said, quiet, be still. And Jesus actually said to his followers who believed in him, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 23, he said, have faith in God. He who believes in me, believes in his heart and does not doubt, will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will move. Did you know speaking to your problems is a secret of victory? In the name of Jesus? Not talking about them, commanding them to be still. The storm, can I have that scripture? Mark 11, please. Just so you read it, just in case you don't know the word, you read what Jesus said. I just want it up. It's not about a preacher, it's about the word of God. If Jesus hadn't said something to the storm, it wouldn't have stopped. Maybe you're facing a storm that you haven't spoken to yet. Okay, there it says, Jesus answered them and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, shall we say this together, says to this, not prays, says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes those things he says will be done. Who said that? It wasn't Kenneth Copeland. It was Jesus. Be careful you don't eliminate a certain style because of a preacher you don't like. This is the Jesus who is preaching, the word of God. So he will have whatever he... just Just sometimes you just need to speak to heaviness. Just you speak to niggles in the family. Because sometimes the enemy is behind that. Disrupting relationships. You speak and say, in the name of Jesus, stop. Stop messing with my peace. I command peace over my family and my children. In the name of Jesus. And believe that whatever the problem is, it will move. Sometimes healing, you receive it first in prayer, but you have to speak to a cancer for it to go. Not just pray and receive. You speak. You speak to the pain. You speak to the problem at work. Command peace. Where there's chaos, he brings peace in Jesus' name. You know, you don't feel like doing this. This isn't a reasonable session. This is the word of God. This is how Christians win. This is how the church of Jesus advances. We go believing God, having faith in him, and speaking to problems in the name of Jesus, believing they will shift. And they will. They will. In the name of Jesus, we have victory. Now I'm going to finish with this, because this is the way Christians are supposed to live. That when you've done all, rejoice in the Lord always. Maintain an atmosphere of joy. Tell somebody next to you, you need to rejoice a whole lot more than you are. Philippians 4, please, and verse 4 says, okay, can I just give you the background? Paul is in prison. He's not feeling great circumstances currently whilst he is teaching the church. What does he say when he's in a bad place? He says, rejoice in the Lord, not in your problems. Not in your problems. Rejoice in the Lord. How many times? Good times, bad times, sad times, hard times, people problems, stress, money problems. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say, he said, just in case you didn't get it this first time, I'm just going to say it again. How's your rejoicing going? When you hit a problem, are you rejoicing or are you moaning? In the hot weather, in things that going wrong with the kids and the rush of life, Jesus, I rejoice that you're my God. There is this wonderful scripture. I'm coming into land now, but it's very powerful to rejoice. It's not a counseling method. It releases the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the right counsel. It's what God is saying. But we don't tell people just to rejoice in the absence of God. God is in you. And the Holy Spirit, one of his fruits is that he is the Spirit of joy. So as soon as you rejoice, it kind of gets a release of the joy of the Spirit. So it's not just changing your mood humanly. It's doing what God says before you feel like it, so that you come into the joy of the Lord. Before you feel, rejoice. Before you see the victory, rejoice. In a difficult time when your emotions are low, rejoice. And I'm going to give you something for free here. Depressed people are silent. The enemy tries to put a silence, a muzzle over depression, because there is a secret in releasing joy and praise out of your mouth. Not just listening to praise and music, but it's praising him out of your own mouth. You can't stay depressed, joyful. Rejoicing, you can't. It's impossible if you do it in faith. I rejoice in the Lord. Just do it. You'll find health and healing and victory and the joy of the Lord. You'll be radically joy when everybody says you should be miserable. And they'll say, what a peculiar person they are. And you'll say, I just want to introduce you to Jesus. It's what he's done for me. He's changed my mourning to dancing, my despair to hope, and my lack of joy to being full of joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk says it like this. Though the fig tree may not, nor the fruit be on the vine, so I might not be seeing anything happening that's good. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock may be cut off from the stall, and there be no herd in the stall. Say yet. It's all going downhill for Habakkuk. He says, yet. I'm telling you, that's the decision of a winner. That is a choice of a winner. If you choose God's way in that moment, you're going to win it. Yet I will. What's that? Not I feel. Not because the Holy Spirit came over me, I fell over and I got up happy. It's a decision. I choose to rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What does this mean? I'm looking to God to save me from this season. Because he's the God of my salvation. And he never loses if I do it his way. Well, he never loses anyway, but in my life and experience, because I do it his way. Yet, it's a choice. Maintain an atmosphere in your life of joy. And I'm going to finish with a Bobby Dazzler, as they say. It's mega. Are you ready? I hope you've received a lot this morning. It's a wonderful Secrets of the Kingdom. How to win and overcome in adversity. But there is this. Those who sow in tears, hang on, shall reap in, not for, because circumstances change. You reap. Joy is an atmosphere of harvest. You might start out in tears, but if you come through and begin to praise him and rejoice in the Lord, you begin to see a harvest of what God has promised in your life. Sorry, that was for me, was the best. That was the best one. Those who sow in tears will in rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, it works. If your brain's telling you, I don't feel like it, tell your brain it works. God says it works. God says, do it. I'm going to do it, and I'll reap. There's going to be a harvest of good. Because I'm rejoicing and praising him. And even if I'm on the floor this morning, yet I will. And there's this wonderful little scripture, Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Maybe you're feeling weak because you're not rejoicing. Because the joy of the Lord is your the Lord's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And they're conquering thoughts. They're victory thoughts. And they're victory ways. He teaches us his ways so that we can follow him, overcome the storms, and reach the destiny he has for us to reach a world without Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Shall we stand?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.